Hey neighbor, we got a great show for you today. We had some visitors this last weekend and we got an excerpt from that we want to play for you. We're talking about all things gardening and some homesteading. Boy, we did have a busy weekend. But it was good.
It was a good weekend. It was fun.
Yep. So we had visitors. Andy, Megan, Jacob, and Maggie came down from True Grit Appalachia Ways, and they're YouTubers up in North Carolina. I'm going to stress this. True Grit Appalachia Ways is their YouTube channel, and you got to go check them out. Boy, you talking about some legit folks. Andy tickled me. He said we was homesteaders before I knew what homesteaders was. And it reminds me so much of us a little bit, too. You know, homestead has become a cool thing in the last few years. But for some people, it's just been a way of life. And that's the way Andy describes it there. So we had a wonderful visit with them this weekend. We got an excerpt today from them when they was here talking to Andy a little bit. But we got a lot of things going on in the garden because it is March.
Look what they brought me. You've heard me talk about True Grit and how they process their own meat. And one of the things they've been doing lately was the hogs, and this is their country cured ham. I'm going to put a link below to this video, but go check out any of the videos. It is just, and I guess it's because my granddaddy used to do this. It's kind of close to my heart. But I want to do this one day.
Oh man, it's so unique how they do it. They come together as a community and do and have hog killing and do all their hams and everything, and it's just amazing.
You can't buy a ham like
you
that.
You can't buy a ham like that.
That's just awesome. I don't know when I'm going to cook it. I'm like saving it.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing she brought me was some homemade butter. So they've had a calf, and she's milking a cow. And I'm going to see if you can tell me the difference in homemade and bought.
Oh, I'm sure I can.
Now, don't disappoint.
No, I'm sure I can. And folks, if you've never made butter before, to me, it's one of the it's one of the wonders of life. I've got this little thing they bought me a few years ago, this little jar that's got a little churn in it. And one day, or one late one afternoon, I got me some milk and put it in there and went outside and just sat in my chair by myself and churned butter. And it takes a few minutes to do, but it's the most amazing thing. So you'll be churning along there and just like, bam, it turns to butter just that quick.
Now, she does hers in a food processor. It only takes a short time. But think about, let's think about texture, taste, consistency. You got it?
I got it.
Which one?
The last one.
Yep.
Good easy job. Peasy.
Yeah. You know, Andy said that they quit eating corn because they didn't have homemade butter to put on it. They saved their corn. But you can tell, talking about consistency. So this is Megan's. Look how creamy it is.
Nothing added, just pure butter.
And then that's the store-bought butter, which is an Amish butter, but just look at the difference in the consistency and the taste.
It's amazing.
I ate butter right by itself. It's not a good thing.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, we got
thank you, Megan, for that butter.
You can't miss this today of us talking to Andy, and by all means, go check them out. I think they're one of the up-and-coming channels out there because they are legit. I'm talking about legit. They are the real deal. But anyhow.
What you got going on in the garden?
Well, first of all, let me do knife.
Knife thing.
I started today and I actually picked out two knives, but I'm going to talk about a particular brand here. Most people may not be familiar with. We actually sold this brand a few years ago when we first started. We don't sell it anymore. No fault to the knife maker, but Amazon kind of kicked their teeth in here. This is an old knife I've had for a long time, but this brand of knives is called Condor, and they're made in El Salvador. And is one, I think for the money, is one of the best knives on the market out here. These things are fairly inexpensive and they're made out of 1075 up to 1095, and they do have some stainless. I'm not a fan of their stainless, but their 1075 and 1095 steels for knives are the bomb. This is probably the easiest sharpening knife I have ever seen right here. And this is called the Bush Lore right here. this is their most popular knife, one of their most popular knives right here, and the leather sheaths are awesome. Now this is another knife of theirs, and I forgot what name of it is, just to give people an idea. I've used this one a lot. But right here, look at him, ain't it pretty?
Oh,
I haven't used this one much. But their quality, their leather sheaths.
Why is it black? Or is it black?
Yeah, they painted or Cerakoted or something or other right there to keep that metal from rusting. But very easy to sharpen. Good metal and absolutely wonderful knives. They're not expensive at all. Made in El Salvador. They also make really good machetes. So check out the Condor brand if you've never seen it. It's one of my favorite brands because I think it's, for the money, it's one of the best values out there. And we're not making anything off the Condor knives. That's Greg's just honest, fair opinion. How about that?
Do you make anything off of any of your knives?
I do not. Unfortunately, I do not. So let's talk about turmeric a little bit. You know, last week we did our show on turmeric. Well, we're going to be shipping this turmeric next week. We're going to get it in toward the end of this week, and probably next Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, we're going to start shipping turmeric out there. So we should have it in stock for the next 30, 45 days. So if you've not ordered your turmeric and you're not quite ready, it's okay. Hold off, and we should have plenty in stock. And after next week, when you order your turmeric, we will switch it from pre-sales to regular sales. And when you order your turmeric, it'll just be shipped out.
If you're not ready for it, just store it.
Just store it like that right there. Store is real easy.
We just store ours in this room here.
Yeah, this will be fine. All right, let's talk about plants just a minute. Because we're doing some plant sales now. There's been some confusion over that. But the way the plant sales works is we upload our inventory every Friday. And we normally, over the weekend, this last weekend, we pretty much sold out of most of the plugs. So don't order
for
the plugs.
For that week.
For that week.
We're not sold, even though it says sold out, we're not sold out. We're going to do this for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. And every Friday, we're going to be putting more inventory in because these are live plants, folks. And I don't know exactly how they're going to come off. So it's really hard for us to do it in advance.
Yeah, we don't know it till the Friday before.
Till the Thursday or Friday before we know what we're going to have
for sale the
available.
Next Monday.
Right. So, and when you order them, we ship them to you. So there's no pre-sales on these plugs. So if you don't need your plugs, don't order them till you need them. But we're going to have them for the next few weeks. Now, they are selling out quick. We send out an email on Friday. When you get that email, if you're interested in plugs, go to the website right then and buy them so you won't be disappointed and be sold out a couple of days later. Normally, by Monday morning, we've sold out most of them. We've got four kinds of pepper and then four kinds of tomatoes. So let's move right along into a little excerpt before we go into Andy. I want to talk about what the perfect plant looks like. Okay. Because a lot of people are going to buy their plants instead of growing their own. If you're in that camp, then we want to talk about what you want to look for in the perfect plant. Now, this tomato right here, in my book right here, is the perfect plant. Now, plants by nature are going to have transplant shock. It's just the nature of the way it is. You want to minimize that transplant shock by having the right size plant, good healthy plant, so it can rebound the quickest. Most people think the bigger the plant, the better it is, and that's absolutely not true. When you get a bigger plant, it goes through more transplant shock and it has a harder time recovering. So in my opinion, a tomato plant, this right here is the perfect size. See the size up there? I'm gonna put my hand up to it. It's about 4 or 5 inches long there. Mm-hmm. It's nice and green. You know that plant has been well fed. It's not derived of anything. The last thing you want to do is plant a plant that is sick. So we know this plant is nice and green, but look at the root system there. This root system is plenty big enough to see how it's not wrapped around there and it's not root bound, but yet it's got enough roots there to hold the root ball together. So that is what I consider the perfect plant right there. Of course, when you plant your tomatoes, you want to plant them deep. That's a whole new
thing. You take these two leaves off
and plant them deep. That's all.
Another show.
But anyway, that's what the perfect plant says. When you go to buy your plants, if you're not buying them from us, don't buy the big plants. Look for a smaller plant that's not root bound, it's nice and colored, it's not stressed out there, so it can rebound from that transplant shock as much as possible. You don't want a plant that doesn't have significant amount of roots there because it's not going to be rooted in and be able to take hold. You want just enough to hold that root ball together. Now here's a pepper plant right here. By the way, this was grown in a 128 cell tray. Right,
and they're our seeds, and we have a grower close by that grows them for us.
Absolutely. And this pepper plant you see here is a decent looking pepper plant. And it's still going to be okay. But it's not what I consider a perfect pepper plant because the root system there is getting a little too much there. Now, if you get these in the mail and we're shipping them out, they're going to be fine. But if I'm talking about the perfect plant here, I would want this root system just to a little less wrapped than what it is right there. But as far as the top goes, that plant looks perfect right there.
Talking about pepper tops, and this could be another show too. I saw somebody trimming all their pepper tops again.
Every year it happens. Every year they're talking about pruning pepper plants, folks. If you ain't got nothing else to do and you want to go out there and do something, go cut you some firewood. Don't go out there and prune your pepper plants.
A lot of them snip that top.
I know. And we've talked to the breeders and the growers and the powers to be just to confirm what I thought I already knew. And they said, look here, don't do it. It's useless. So actually what you're doing is stressing that plant more. So if you got something you just want to cut, go cut you some firewood. Your time will be a lot better served.
And if you've ordered these and you're not quite ready to put them in the ground,
just pot them up.
Just put them in a little pot and keep them watered and fertilized.
Yep, make sure it's got drainage there and you'll be good to go. I want to share with you all what I thought the perfect plant looked like there. It's because I know there's going to be some out there and I see it every year. People buying them big old plants and it's just not.
I think they're getting a jump start.
But they're not. That plant there will outproduce those big ones every time. All right, garden update. I got my sweet corn planted. Yep, so I don't know. We got 4 inches after it rained, so I don't know how well that's going to do.
Thankful for the rain.
But 4 inches and 2/10 the day after I planted my sweet corn. I may have to end up replanting, but it is what it is, as the old men say.
So potatoes are up.
Potatoes are up. I'm fixing to heal them probably tomorrow. And everything's rock and rolling. We're drying out a little bit. So it's time to get everything in there. My hope was to get my sweet corn planted, wait 15 days and plant my Hickory King, which my timing would have been perfect. Now I've got to wait and see if that sweet corn's going to come up or if it got washed away. Back up and punt. How about you?
Nothing really new going on. I've got my garden's full of garlic and onion. Waiting on that. My onions are bulbing.
You got some pretty turnips down there, too.
Turnips? Savannah mustard. What's that other one I planted?
That is a type of a bok choy that you got. It's beautiful.
How big does it get for you?
It'll get bigger than that, but I tasted some of the leaves of that. It's got a very mild flavor to it. Excuse me. It's going to be really good. And these get bigger than what it is now.
And all the seed tape I planted looks really good. I'm very pleased with that.
So I'm in the process of getting, I got to finish up a little bit to get all my spring garden in. And I'm probably going to be the rest of this month. By the end of this month, I should have most of my spring garden in with the exception of my okra. Mm-hmm. If everything works out correctly. Okay. All right, folks, sit back and enjoy. We're going to show you this little clip that we filmed with Andy. I think you'll get a hoot out of it. Andy is one of them boys out from the Holler, North Carolina. You can tell from his accent, they're absolutely wonderful folks. So when did y'all start your YouTube channel?
Oh, I think it was around 2019.
19?
Yeah. And it was mainly just Megan when it started. Started out as a cooking channel.
Yeah.
Yep, it's called True Grit Southern Cooking and Canning was the name of it.
How about that? Yep. So y'all just did a play off that for your regular channel now, which is True Grit Appalachian
Ways. So what we've done was you changed the name of it a few years ago because we had started including the gardening and stuff like that.
Right.
So we changed the name of the channel from Cooking and Canning to Appalachian Ways.
Yeah. So we first met in Virginia at Homesteaders of America. Man, has that been 3 years ago?
It's been a while back.
We met up there and we had a great conversation. And now y'all come down here and spent the weekend with us and we've had the biggest time.
It's been fun.
Talking about gardening and what's amazing is the different ways y'all do things. Now you're located right there on the North Carolina-Virginia line.
Yep.
But the way y'all do things, what zone you? Six?
Zone seven. Yep.
The difference y'all do things and the difference the way we do things and the planting dates is so much difference.
Big difference.
So you couldn't get over the fact I planted my sweet corn.
Yep. And you've got potatoes up this time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But we hadn't even planted our potatoes yet. We hadn't planted anything but onions. Started a few carrots before we come down here. And that's it.
Yeah. And we got talking about the biker because it's, and I say biker, because you can call it biker if you've ever worked in it, but the biker, We got to talk about this the other night, and I got plum tickled talking about. I said, we used to crop back here, and you said, what? Crop. Yep.
We call tobacco.
Y'all call it priming.
Yep.
And we called it cropping. And neither one of us had ever heard those terms before.
Me and Megan were actually talking about that after we left. Over here. We're like, I can't believe you hadn't ever heard of priming tobacco.
We've cropped a bunch of it, but y'all primed it.
Yeah, we primed it. Yep.
So we got that in common. We come from tobacco country down here, and y'all grew the same kind of tobacco, flue-cured tobacco that we did.
Yep.
But y'all are homesteaders. Y'all were what we call the true homesteaders. Y'all raise your own meat.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I didn't know what a homesteader was before 2019.
It's just always been a way of life.
It was just the way we lived.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like probably many other people, when 2020 come around, I think we probably stepped it up a notch.
Yeah.
But we didn't change a lot of ways, you know. Everything was just the same, but we...
Grow your own food and grow your own meat.
Yep. Everything. We hadn't bought a piece of meat in the store in many years.
Yeah. So on your videos, people should probably check out the way y'all do your hams and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's something I'm kind of proud of.
Y'all cure your own hams up, yeah.
Yep.
And we have got some hams. We were lucky enough y'all bring us.
I can't wait for y'all to try it.
Slice some of them hams up and try it. So let's talk about gardening just a minute. Now, you along with me, you love field corn.
Yep.
You do your own grinding and make y'all's own, cornmeal out of it?
Yep. And, I want to raise enough field corn one of these days to feed all my animals, but until then, we'll buy in field corn for our animals and then feed some of the field corn we grow to our animals. Most of it's just for grinding grits and cornmeal and whatever like that.
Now, what's your favorite field corn?
Well, I have to say I like the Jimmy Red and the Hickory King pretty good.
That's the way I am.
I'm growing that trucker's favorite this year, but I'm mixing it in with that combination that I've got mixed together.
So you had something to cross-pollinate?
I cross-pollinated it on purpose.
On purpose?
Just to see what it would do. I wanted it. So I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. I'm just playing
Jimmy
with
King
it.
Corn.
Yeah, here we go. I think we called it that one day.
Jimmy King corn.
But, you know, Hickory King has the 8 rows and it's a long ear.
Right.
And that Jimmy Red is a fat ear, and it seems to be a little bit shorter.
Right.
And one thing I have noticed is that Jimmy Red shells a whole lot easier than a Hickory King does, at least from what I've grew. And so I was like, wonder if I cross-pollinate them, I can get one that's got fat, multicolored ears in it and try to keep the fat ear and sort of do away with the long, skinny ear. And I don't know. I'm just playing with it, to be honest with you. I don't really have much of a goal out of it. I just want to see what it would do.
You know, most people don't want it to cross-pollinate on purpose, but yet you cross-pollinate.
Yep.
I've never seen that.
Really?
Yeah, it's got to be pretty cool looking.
It is.
So you'll have white and red kernels.
They're not red. They turn out purple.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we've got ears up there that are, I don't know how many rows is on Jimmy Red. It's, 12 or 14 or something that. But anyways, we've got ears that'll be fully white with probably, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15% of purple kernels in it.
About that.
And they're the big fat ones. And those are the ones that I want to keep seed from. And then we've got some solid red ones that I'm keeping seed from. And then the funny one is we had one that was solid red that looked just like a Hickory King with the 8 rows. And it was a long ear and everything, but it was red as it could be.
Mm.
And if somehow or another we had some yellow got mixed in, and I'm guessing it had to come from a neighbor's cornfield or something because I hadn't planted any around it. But it's I think that's the funnest part about cross-pollinating is because when you open it up, it's like opening a Christmas present.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to
You get. Never know what's going to be in there.
Now, heirloom stuff, I'm not huge on heirloom stuff, but I love heirloom field corns. I'm fascinated.
Same here.
By the heirloom field. To me, they have a more complex flavor to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're harder, easier to grow. They're more drought resistant. And they just dadgum taste better.
Yeah.
To me.
And I'll tell you something else that I noticed is we had some GMO field corn one time, and we run it through our grinder, and the kernel was so hard we couldn't hardly grind it on our meal.
Huh.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. You take that Hickory King or the Jimmy Red, and they grind pretty easy.
But
that kernel on that yellow GMO corn was hard as a rock.
Mm. Mm. All right, another thing, and I thought this was hilarious, butter beans.
I didn't know what a butter bean was a few years ago.
See, butter beans is a staple of the South. And y'all don't even grow butter beans.
Yeah, and technically we're in the South.
Yeah.
But up there, butter beans, lima beans, whatever you want to call them, they just ain't a... At least in my little area. Now, you get away from my area, that may change. But in my little neck of the woods, it's...
And y'all back in what they call a holler.
Yeah, we're in the backwoods up there. Yeah. So people that come and visit, they always say, how in the world you stand it way out here? Well, I wouldn't have it any other way. To me, it ain't far enough away.
Right.
But, yeah, even when the Perry Hill folks come up there, they were, you know, made a couple comments about, I can't believe it's that far to a store, you know, for y'all. But
yeah.
It just is what it is. It's what we used to.
Right, right. And you prepare for it and plan for it.
That's right. We don't have to go to the store very often.
Right.
You know, go get gas or something like that. But
now, Tapazio bean or Supremo bean or the Taylor horticultural bean or cranberry beans.
We call them October beans.
October beans. Yep. It's according to what part of the world you live in, what's called. Now, y'all love those.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of those grow to hand. Now, back in the day, they was, but not now. But up in North Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina, people still love them up there.
Well, I noticed, you know, we mention them a lot on our YouTube channel, and we have a lot of comments. Because of the different names of them, they don't know what they are. So they don't know, you know, what to call them. I've heard people call them the cranberry beans, the October beans. I've heard names I've never heard before, but that's the bean you're talking about, you know, because it's a very recognizable bean.
Right.
And anyways, they're so happy to find out that they can still get those type of beans because they grew up with them as a kid but haven't seen them since.
What we try to do on the description of that bean is put all those terms in the description. Mm-hmm. That way someone can find out. But a Taylor horticultural bean or an October bean or cranberry bean is a type of bean.
Yeah.
And Supremo is the variety.
Okay.
So that's the deal there. They've got new improved varieties, and this Supremo is one of them that do a lot better. Mm. So that, and we used to carry Tapazio. They did away with that one, so we moved to Supremo.
Well, the Tapazio is what we planted the past 2 years.
And right.
So we got some Supremos now
we're going to plant. So now you're ready to rock and roll,
yeah,
ain't you?
Yeah.
And running, what about running butter? You told me y'all like jade bush beans.
Yes, we like jade bush beans. Jade bush beans are like the thing that everybody plants up there.
Mm-hmm.
My mama won't eat nothing else but a jade bush bean.
Right.
If you name off any other name, she don't want nothing to do with it.
Right. And we noticed that on up in Ohio, same way. Really? Southern Ohio, same thing. Jade beans.
Really?
Yep.
I will say they are a good bean.
Yeah.
I hate picking them.
Right.
But they're a good bean.
Yeah.
But now we started planting the Kentucky Wonders a couple years ago and letting them run up a trellis, and I really, really like those too. But they're, in my opinion, a totally different type of green bean than versus a jade bean. So we plant both just so we can have a mixture of them.
Now let's talk about when you will plant. Let's talk about when you're going to plant corn, right. When you're going to plant your other stuff.
Well, when we get back, as soon as it dries up, we're going to start working up our land to plant potatoes, which probably still won't be till the end of this month, March.
Here. End of March, you plant your Irish potatoes.
Yep. And then an old rule of thumb up there has always been Good Friday, but Good Friday's falling early this year, so I doubt we're planting much on Good Friday this time. But a lot of times, I think there's a lot of people up there that won't plant nothing to Mother's Day. And that's really a good thing to go by because you can have a late frost that'll come in and wipe it all out.
Our daughter lives in Dayton, Ohio,
and
that's what she says. She said Mother's Day for
Mother's
them.
Day. Yep. I had a guy one time who asked me if I'd planted my garden yet, and I said, yeah, I done got everything planted. He hadn't planted nothing. And he said, I ain't planting nothing till Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And I said, man, it's going to be hot then. He said, well, that's what that garden likes. He likes that hot. And his tomatoes caught my tomatoes.
Really?
Yep. And at that point when he asked me about that, I mean, I already had tomatoes up that tall, you know, and he has caught mine.
So we're planting tomatoes and peppers now. We'll be planting for the next couple of weeks here, and you'll at least be another month off.
Oh yeah,
6 weeks.
Yep, at least.
Yeah. It's amazing, ain't it, the difference in the timing on our garden.
You know, it don't seem like it would be that big a difference between here and there, but then again, it's a difference for sure.
Right. Well, cool. It was great having y'all. Man, it was wonderful catching up. And, you know, I know gardening down here.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear what y'all do different and the way y'all like to grow things different and what you like to grow is different.
Well, I think the biggest crazy thing to me is the irrigation y'all have to do down here.
Mm-hmm.
Where we don't, I mean, you do need the water if you get a drought in the summertime. But, you know, our soil up there don't dry out like that.
Oh, yeah. You got those clayish type soils that holds the nutrients well.
Yep.
But yet, when it gets wet, it's wet.
It's wet, it's wet. And when it's dry, it's hard as a rock.
We're just opposite down here with the sandy, long soil. We can work it. It rains 4 inches. 2 days later, you can get out there.
Yeah, that's unheard of up there.
But we got to fertilize a lot more.
Yeah.
We got to put it down. We got to irrigate. We have to use drip tape, overhead irrigation. So we have to do a lot of things different. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, I said, look here, we got bugs down here y'all ain't never seen
before. You probably do. I'm yeah. sure you do. Yeah. You probably got diseases and bugs yeah, and everything we've never seen.
We do. But you know, when it comes down to it, it's all pretty much the same thing. You got to look mm-hmm. after it and grow it and, yep. and tend to it. And
you got to want to do it.
You got to want to do it. That's yep. right. And for people to say they don't like to work, well, gardening ain't for me.
That's exactly right. But you know, I don't even hardly consider it work.
I don't either. It's therapy for
it
me.
It is. It's fun. Yeah. You know, so I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get carried away with the stuff I plant. I don't need half the stuff I plant, but I plant it anyways.
Yeah. I think that's the nature of all of a garden. Yep. When it's plant day, it's hard to cut back. You'd be wanting to plant another two or three rows.
Yep.
Knowing you don't need it.
Yep. Yep.
Well, thank you, Andy. It was a pleasure having y'all this weekend and catching up on all this. Man, it's been wonderful.
It's been a pleasure being down here. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good deal.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did their visit with us. Let's move into the garden spotlight this week. We got Weldon Griffin out of how do you say that? L-A-L-O-H-N.
Lawn, it would be like John, but it's got an L.
Yeah. Look at this tomato
plant here. This is 17 days after planting. He's got some Celebrity Plus, some Florida 91s, Sweethearts, Sweet Cherry, Hallucinator Bell Peppers. He's just got it all. Then he's got two trays of Riptide lettuce. Now he says this will stay under the lights until it gets ready to harvest. So he's just growing this inside.
Yeah, Weldon, we do that a lot too, especially when it gets hot. We grow our salad inside there. It's really clean to grow it that way, and it grows off fine.
And then lastly, is he's just showing his big plot of untarped. It's going to be his main plot. And he's planted over 700 onions and elephant garlic.
Wow.
And he's going to have red potatoes. After his onions, he's going to plant corn, Jimmy Red Corn.
Cool.
He's got it going on.
Got it going on. Looking good.
Thank you for sending in those pictures. Yep. There's a link under Hoss University to send us those pictures.
So we have the old goat, folks. Somewhere on the set here today is the old goat. The old goat is a figurine. It's not me, although some people confused me with the old goat.
Somebody gave you the figurine saying you were an old goat.
Yeah, and I took it in jest. It didn't bother me a whole lot. I got over it after a few days. But the old goat, he moves around on the set. He's on that set somewhere. If you find that old goat, put in the comments below, and then every week we do a drawing for the winner before. And last week's winner from the old goat sighting was William Cobb. William, send us your shipping information to cusserve@growhoss.com and we will get you a wonderful set. We're running low on socks, aren't we?
I know, I need to check.
We'll send you some Get Dirty socks and you'll be the talk of the town as you walk through town with your pretty legs up showing you Get Dirty socks. All right, folks, thank y'all for joining us. If you're in the homestead and if you're in self-sufficiency and living the life, check out Andy and Megan's channel. You will learn
and be entertained.
Yeah, both. And like I said, legit, folks, all around, these folks are it right here.
And we had also Perry Hill came Saturday
night.
We had a little get together and a fish fry.
Yep.
Fun times.
Yep, absolutely. It's good spending time with like-minded folks and talking and chewing it over. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining us. Now it's time. It's that time of the year, folks, where you need to get outside, get those hands dirty. Mm-hmm.